two.
Case number 10,710, Liberty Towers LLC, southwest of Little Assawoman Bay, 1,600 feet northeast of Road 58B. A special use exception to place a communication tower and a variance from the maximum height requirement for a tower.
Name and address?
Crystal J. Fisher, 1012 North Bethlehem Pike, Suite 200B3, Lower Gwinnett, PA 19002.
Oh, you're an attorney?
I am.
You represent the applicant?
I do.
Okay. In Delaware, we have this age-old tradition that attorneys do not have to take an oath.
All right.
Because that's part of your oath when you became an attorney.
Very good.
For the record, my name is Brian Seidel. I'm a land use planner working with Liberty Towers.
You have to take an oath.
That's right.
You swear a firm testimony you're about to give shall be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you.
Before I get started, I do have exhibit packets for the board members. If it would be okay, I'd like to hand them out prior to proceeding. Thank you.
Yes, if you have time. Actually, if you want to keep one, you can. You have enough.
My name is Crystal Fisher, and I'm an attorney with Lemanowitz Law, LLP. We represent Liberty Towers with respect to this application that's before you this evening. Liberty filed an application to the Zoning Board of Adjustment in order to construct and operate a wireless telecommunication facility at 38555 Pepper's Landing Road in Selbyville, Delaware. Because the property is located in the AR1 Agricultural Zoning District, the applicant is requesting a special use permit in accordance with Section 115-23B of the zoning ordinance in order to permit this proposed use. Originally, the applicant had also filed a height variance to permit the tower to have a height of 160 feet. The applicant has since reduced the height of the tower to 150 feet, and we hereby amend our application to remove that height variance. The property is owned by Philip and Jody Thompson and is comprised of 109 acres. As I mentioned, the property is located in the agricultural district. A copy of the deeds conveying the property to the Thompsons are included in your exhibit packet as exhibits 3 and 4. Liberty Towers has leased a 100-foot by 100-foot area of the property from the owner in order to construct and operate a wireless telecommunication facility. Exhibit 2 in your exhibit packet contains the ground lease agreement between the Thompsons and Liberty. As detailed on the site plans, which is Exhibit 10 and also was submitted with the original application, the proposed facility includes a 150-foot-tall galvanized steel pole monopole tower. It does have a 4-foot-tall lightning rod attached to the top of the tower. Wireless communication antenna will be mounted on the tower at a height of 145 feet. The proposed antenna will not exceed above the height of the tower, and there will be warning lights on the tower at every 50 feet in elevation. There will be one concrete equipment pad, which is 10 foot by 20 foot in area. Equipment cabinets will be placed on the equipment pad. Coaxial cable will connect the antennas to the proposed equipment cabinets. The equipment cabinets are fully automated. They're unattended on a daily basis. An 8-foot-high security fence will surround the tower, the equipment pad, and the utility meters. The size of the fenced compound is 70 feet by 80 feet. The tower will be accessed by a 12-foot-wide gravel access road, and there will be 2 10-foot by 20-foot parking spaces located outside of the fenced equipment compound. The tower will be set back a minimum of 651 feet from all adjoining property lines, which is well in excess of the 50 feet required under the ordinance. The proposed facility is unmanned. It does not require public water or sewer service. It will not emit any noise, odors, particles, or glare. It will operate within the FCC's guidelines for human exposure to electromagnetic fields and will be designed and constructed to meet all applicable requirements of both the Federal Communication Commission as well as the Federal Aviation Administration. Exhibit 8 in your packet is a copy of the FAA determination of no hazard to air navigation. A visual impact assessment report was prepared by Seidel Planning and Design. It was submitted with the application and is also included in your exhibit packet as Exhibit 9. This report demonstrates that the proposed site will have minimal visual impact on the surrounding area. The report prepared by Millennium Engineering is Exhibit 5 in your packet, and it identifies that in the subject area of Sussex County, wireless communication services are inadequate. Exhibit 6 is a coverage map which depicts the existing wireless service currently enjoyed by Sussex County. The lack of adequate wireless communication services in this area creates a significant gap in wireless service that prevents wireless users from connecting and receiving mobile telephone communications. It also prevents them from connecting to the national land-based telephone network. Constructing and operating the proposed facility at this particular property will resolve the significant gap in wireless communication service and will allow wireless service providers to provide adequate personal wireless service in the subject area of Sussex County. Exhibit 7 is a coverage map which depicts the level of coverage that Sussex County would experience with the operation of the proposed facility at a height of 150 feet. The Millennium Report also identifies existing structures located within a 2-mile radius of the proposed site and explains why these sites are not available for co-location, either because the sites are unavailable or that they would not fill the gap in coverage. The proposed tower will accommodate the co-location of an additional antenna and will be designed to meet all applicable standards of the American National Standards Institute. In order to construct and operate the proposed wireless communication facility on this property, the applicant hereby requests a special use permit in accordance with Section 115-23C18 of the ordinance. Applicant meets all of the criteria set forth in Section 115-1942 of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance governing commercial communication towers and antennas. Moreover, the proposed use will not adversely affect the use of adjacent and neighboring properties. It is for all the foregoing reasons the applicant requests a special use exception for this application. I do have with me this evening Mr. Brian Seidel, if anyone would have any questions for him or I.
Information you've given us. And you may have already said, who is the proposed user?
The tower is being designed to accommodate any carrier that operates in the mega, it's the 1900 megahertz. At this point, we do not have any carriers that have a signed lease. We have many carriers who have expressed interest, and I think once we obtain approval, we will get a carrier.
So, in Exhibit 7?
Yes.
Those are the purple, areas in purple are existing with AT&T, Nextel,
correct.
Verizon. And the green is your proposed tower, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So that would cover that gap, which is mostly, well, partially bay. Not that us boaters don't use cell phones. Okay. okay. And what approximate distance in a radius there of yours is what, 2 miles? 3 miles?
About.
Of your tower?
A little bit less than 2 miles.
Is that with a 160 tower or 150?
It's 150. All of these documents have been reflected for 150, with the exception of the site plans are still shown as 160.
Okay. And what kind of signal is presently acquired in that area?
I'm sorry?
What strength of signal is presently acquired in that area, do you know?
In
terms of the quality of the signal?
Yes, is it -85, 95?
Oh, the specific frequencies? That I can't speak to. I'm not a radio frequency engineer. From a planning perspective, is how we were approaching this. So, no, I apologize.
Okay.
But, yes, to answer your first question, yeah, the range of this is approximately a mile and a half to 2 miles,
okay.
And we are about 2 miles from the next nearest tower.
Gotcha.
Why is it changing from 160 to 150?
Well, we felt as though if we could reduce the height of the tower to comply with the zoning regulations, we lose a little bit of coverage when you reduce the height of the tower, but we thought it was important to try to comply with the zoning ordinance.
Okay. So you're going to give up just a little bit?
Correct.
I take it the lightning pole doesn't count, or it does, in the height?
I'll offer an opinion on that. Generally, lightning rods are not taken into account in terms of the building height, similar to an antenna structure that may be on the top of a building. I'm happy to hear anything that the board of the county may say in opposition to that, but that's generally what we found. It's an ancillary structure. There specifically as a lightning rod for this facility.
Okay. Thank you.
Sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
Works for me. And lucky you, if you have opposition, it's only one person. And we have one more case.
Questions from members of the board. Mr. McCabe?
No, sir.
No. Mr. Morgan? Mr. Hanson? Mr. Mill? Okay. Hearing no questions. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Chairman, I'd like to move we approve case number 10710. I think it's the site suitability and the zoning compatibility, making an ideal spot for such a tower. It all from central character of the neighborhood.
Okay, do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
You have a motion by Mr. McCabe and a second by Mr. Workman. That we approve case number 10710. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Your case is approved.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.